The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
As I have said many, many times before, perhaps the wisest, the most sagacious political mind in America today is former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, who we had on the show one-on-one for a whole hour just a week ago. And I want to remind people of the wisdom of that great American.
Thank you, Hav. Great disappointment in the Clinton presidency on the left and disappointment in the Obama presidency. The hard left wants to change America into a radically different country. And they were tired of dealing with people who kept compromising. And so they somehow have managed to drive Biden into being the vehicle for genuine, deep radicalism. I point out to people, when Sanders brought forth a $3 trillion bill in August, there was not a single moderate Democrat in the House or the Senate. Every single Democrat in both the House and Senate voted for Sanders' big government socialist bill. So if I say to somebody, you're clearly a big government socialist, because on this date in the congressional record, it says you voted for this, that's not attacking them. That's simply reporting factually what they did. And I think you have to recognize these people have become very anti-free enterprise, very anti-small business, very much in favor of big government, willing to use the power of the state to coerce people into things they don't believe in.
A perfect description of what the Democrat Party has become, not the Democrat Party of your father or your grandfather, but a group of radicalized people who hate America. What do we do about it? Let's talk to a man who's fought the good fight. He stepped in the arena. Welcome today to one-on-one to former Congressman Dave Brandt, Dean of the Business School at Liberty University.
Great to be on with you, Zeb. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with that. I'm sure you agree Newt is one of the greatest political minds out there. You fought as a congressman. You won a seat you weren't supposed to win. But today's Democrat Party, it's just radicals, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Newt had the right solution. Our conference, right? People may not even know what that is. When all the Republicans get together once a week, we meet in conference. And our strategy back when I was there, and I think it's been the strategy for a couple decades, is you just let everyone run their own race. So you've got the entire, you know, national intelligence agencies coupled up with big media, now teamed up with big technology. All the donors are on the left. And a single congressman with a megaphone is supposed to compete against that one on, you know, infinity. And it doesn't work. And that's why we lose. We do not have a team voice. And so our speaker of the House needs to get a new contract that we all believe in, that hits over 51%. That's Newt's genius. And it's got to solve the problems of America. It's not just to win elections. It's got to solve problems, getting rid of this, the $45 trillion in debt. And you know, everybody knows what the problems are, right? The border and just chaos across the country right now. But we need to speak with one voice and we need a leader. Newt was a leader. And we need a leader who will speak with one voice and unite us. And even with that, it's an uphill fight against the press and all the forces I just mentioned. But that's what we got to do.
All right. So you had an amazing event recently with Speaker Gingrich. I was honored to be a present at your conference for a new contract with America that you held at the Museum of the Bible. We'll talk about all of that and the findings and why you did it. But first, for those who aren't from Virginia, for those who don't know who Dave Brandt is or what you did politically, which was such an upset, please share with our millions of listeners across the nation and also our viewers your story, where you headed. hail from, what you have done for a living, and why you decided a few years ago to do that crazy thing and run for Congress.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. Very few people ask, and it is a fascinating. So I'm from the Midwest originally, worked in business, and then went to Princeton Seminary, and while I was there, I got the economic piece of interest, went and do a PhD in economics at American, and then taught economics for a long time, and I worked for the head of Senate Finance and in the Virginia Senate, and learned, I just did that all volunteer for 7 years. That's a nice biblical number, by the way. Things happen in sevens. And so I did my 7-year duty. He said, you want to run for my seat someday? I said, sure. And I'd be, you know, honored to do that someday. I wasn't in any hurry or anything. And then I ran. Machine said, no, you can't run. I was like, what? I wasn't familiar with that Democratic concept.
Hang on. Who said, what is this machine you speak of, Dean Bratt?
Yeah, well, that was the Eric Cantor machine. That ran Virginia along with the Blue Bloods, who were supposedly the leaders of the Commonwealth. And those leaders are hiding under their desks now when they're rioting in the streets of Richmond lately. But that's beside the point. That's just to make myself sound good. But then I ran for a delegate slot, lower slot, didn't care, just wanted to be a public servant. And they put a young man in there, you know, the billionaires, and they arranged so there was no election. 4 people voted. And so I said, who's in charge of this thing? And they said, that's probably Eric Cantor and the machine. I said, well, I don't like this. I didn't know Eric. It wasn't anything personal. And I don't like this machine. It's nothing I learned growing up in the Midwest. I said, I'm going to run. And I started making phone calls and called donors. And they said, hello, is this Don Quixote? You know, and I was like, nope, Dave Bratt, liberal arts professor, you know, Ashland, Virginia, seminary, economics, Milton Friedman. Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, Golden Rule, all that kind of stuff. I think we should live based on that and run a government based on that. And you know, people don't believe in ideals or ideas anymore. It's just shocking. It's all money and my personal interests and whatever. But, you know, I ran, and my bet and intuition the whole way along was it's me. No one else would challenge the guy who's going to be the next speaker. Right. If you're in the apparatus.
Right. So people forget Eric Cantor's significance in the Republican Party. This was, you know, the anointed one. He was the proto Paul Ryan or what have you. And nobody challenges the anointed establishment figure. So what happened, Dave?
Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, a prophet went out in the wilderness and found a young son who was out guarding a sheep or something and pulled me and anointed me somehow. I do believe it was a God thing, but I ran, you know, and he spent, you know, $5 million. I spent $150,000, I think. You know, all these stories were out. I was the butt of all jokes for months. I didn't really care. I was having fun with it. And we ended up winning. And
Hang on. I need that reiterated. So Eric Cantor, in his campaign in Virginia, spent $5 million to get reelected, and you spent less than $200,000, and you defeated him.
Yeah, no, it was something. I ran. I had the Tea Party win behind me, but then I also, to double down, I ran on the Republican creed to make sure that people understood I wasn't, you know, a renegade. And I said, there's nothing wrong with the Republican creed. The only problem is no one follows it. And so I ran against him, and then he ran $5 million in ads with me as a stick figure with a professor dunce hat on and called me a liberal professor. And most of the folks knew, you know, I was a nice guy, liberal arts professor, liberal arts, right? So I think they're playing on that one a little bit, but people knew I wasn't a liberal professor. So it eventually caught up. And so I kind of trusted the people, right? In quiet, in the privacy of that voting booth. I want the first 100 people in that phone book vote for me versus him. And that was my bet. And I won the bet on that day.
And then you entered the machine. You became a congressman. Was it as distasteful as you expected once you saw the inside of the sausage factory, Dean Bratt?
Oh, yeah. No, it was way worse than you can imagine. And the irony is that it wasn't bad on the people front. I thought all the senior guys were going to hate my guts and whatever, and they were extremely nice to me. U.S. senators would come up from all over and, hey, Dave, how you doing? Proud to proud of your win, all this kind of thing. The senior guys in the House were all very nice to me, personable. But that has nothing to do with how the machine works. It's not personal at all, right? Paul Ryan was a nice guy to me personally. But when it comes down to the numbers and the budget, I was on the budget committee. And the first day of the year, you always start the budget committee meetings. And they tell you, hey, guys and gals, here's your number. Come back in 6 months. Have fun talking about it. But in 6 months, this is your number, right? This is the answer. me and one of my colleagues from Alabama, I'm going to blank on his name right now. I'm sorry about that. But we found $40 billion we were paying to dead people. So we go to Paul Ryan and say, hey, Paul, can we put this $40 billion, which is a teaspoon, toward the debt deficit this year? And he says, let me check. And we're like, he's the speaker. He doesn't have to check, does he? So he goes and checks. And the answer is no. And that taught me all I needed to know about how the budget process works, right? That money, the revenues are already in.
Yeah, the books are already cooked. The swamp exists on both sides of the aisle. We're going to dissect it further. We're talking to Virginia's former 7th District representative in the House. He's now the dean of the business school at Liberty University. Stay with us. We'll be back with Dave Brad after these messages. We are coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain, me included. But not just me, people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer, 100%. That should be you, that could be you. Find out today by ordering the 3-week quick start a pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of the 3rd week, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call today. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to America First One-on-One with Liberty University's Dave Brat. I have to thank all of you first who have been so generous. More than 300 children are going to receive a Christmas gift because of your love for them and the message of the Bible. This is the Chuck Colson Prison Fellowship Angel Tree Campaign, where every year we try to get a Christmas gift to one of more than 1 million girls and boys in America whose parent is in prison. A message of love. For $25, they get a Christmas gift on behalf of their incarcerated mother or father with a note from that parent and the gospel. You're making a huge difference in the lives of children who 70% of whom, if we don't help them, end up in prison themselves. Be a Christmas angel this year. Try and break the cycle. $25 will make one child's Christmas a little bit brighter. $125, it's 5 children. Literally, you could be saving their lives. Make a difference today. Donate as much as you can, especially if you've weathered the COVID storm. Call the Prison Fellowship at 888-206-2794. Donate as much as you can, or just go to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner at the very, very top of the page. That's 888-206-2794, or just go to my webpage, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, and click on the Angel Tree banner at the very, very top. Okay, so, Dave, you said something really weird when we started our discussion. You talked about being an economics professor and your studies, and then you mentioned Jesus. So let's unpack that a little bit. I think it's fabulous. I love the Museum of the Bible. If you haven't been there, it is one of the best-kept secrets in America, sadly. An amazing building, an amazing museum. You held your event with Newt Gingrich at the Museum of the Bible to discuss a new business contract with America. But let's stop a second. Let's draw back, and let's talk about, in the mold of the great late Michael Novak, Talk to us about what real markets are, what free enterprise is, and the role of morality in all of this.
Well, I can go on all day.
I know you can, but let's just start by introducing the concept of, you know, free market isn't Gordon Gekko. Talk to us about what capitalism really is.
The supply curve and the demand curve are both curves that involve human beings who are both fallen, but also made in the image of God, right? The creation story right out of the gate. We're created as co-creators with God Almighty, made in God's image. Just something to think about, but what that means. Go YouTube that one. And so we have that creative ability to create jobs and commerce to serve our neighbors, our brothers and our sisters. The Hebrews were great business folks. Then the tradition continues with Jesus and the New Testament. And the outwork of that, Jesus begins with a band of 12 around him. To go out and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in 300 years, the Holy Roman Empire and Constantine turns emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, the Christian Empire. So just, you know, shocking turnaround. And so what people don't get is that tradition, that Judeo-Christian tradition, is responsible for our dignity as human beings. There's no other source that you can name. The Enlightenment Project failed terribly on that. Jefferson and etc. They could never name an alternative source for the dignity that is inherent in us. And so that is what undergirds the free market system. And then we're, you know, triply blessed with, you know, also that plus James Madison and the Constitution and the rule of law, and then Adam Smith and free markets. But the irony is you need the law to be a free people. And so the left gets utopian at times, and they just say, you know, let's just make it up as we go. Marx, there's no need for God. There's no need for this rule of law. There's no need for human rights. All these ideas that exist in the air are fake. No, they're not fake. They're responsible for the greatest civilization on earth. And it's our detriment that we lose those foundational pieces that set up the free market system that now serves us so well.
And where did we lose our way? Where did conventional wisdom get so distorted? And how did the left so succeed in saying to the world and selling this narrative that conservatives are the ones without compassion and capitalism is evil, despite the fact that capitalism is the ideology that has raised more people out of poverty than any other system known to man? So can you talk for us, take your economist hat off for a moment and talk for us a little bit as the historian. How did this happen? How did we get this twisted, obverse reality?
Easiest, most symbolic story is probably Harvard University, right? Founded by roughly Calvinists, Protestants. 1640, the mission statement is truth, veritas, for Christ and church. Harvard University, found a bunch of ministers, founded for the clergy. And the motto and mission statement is truth for Christ and the church. That is no longer Harvard's motto. Instead, you might want to check out Marsden, George Marsden's book, The Soul of the American University, Marsden. And the subtitle says it all, from Protestant establishment to established non-belief. We gave over Harvard, Yale, Princeton. I went to Princeton Seminary. We gave the universities over to the secular realm with a kind of a gentleman's agreement way back when. And we said, at least continue to teach Aristotle, right? The Christians and Jewish brothers and sisters and the Muslims in 1300 all agreed that we could use Aristotle and human reason to reach, you know, broadly political consensus on that realm, not the metaphysical, but the political and the social. And we could use reason to make progress. And that has all been left in the dust. Right now at Harvard and Yale and Princeton, you got deconstruction of everything, deconstruction of philosophy, deconstruction of human rights, all along special boxes of where you belong in the universe based on race and gender and all sorts of nonsense.
Well, let me just emphasize this. I spent a year at Harvard as a fellow, and I thought it was very cool. It has a very simple logo. It has the shield, and it has the word veritas. It has the Latin word truth. Right. What these institutions teach today is the denial of objective truth. Correct, Dave?
Correct. No, that's ask them for a definition. And if, for the deep readers and thinkers out there, go look up logical positivism, right about 1900 school of philosophy. It's back, you know, Bertrand Russell and Wittgenstein, but it was Karl Popper was the main guy. And they tried to get rid of God language, right? They said, you know, knowledge only comes from sense perceptions. And they were going to try to define a philosophical language which grounded a word with a tangible meaning from sense perception. And so they said, God, you know, we have no sense perception of God, so God is not real. But then they were logically consistent, by the way. They realized that none of them had ever seen a science, right? If you've ever touched one or seen one, let me know what it looks like. neither had they seen a hypothesis or any of the methodological terms you need to do science. And so, and you said, where did it all start? Well, there's the implosion in philosophy. Nothing has replaced that on the left as a positive philosophy. So instead you get just destruction, right? Deconstruction, Marxism, et cetera, as the replacement for the Judeo-Christian tradition morality of the West. And we see no serious thought in the modern university. It's very embarrassing. And except at Liberty University.
And a handful of others like Hillsdale and Grove City. God bless you and everybody at Liberty for doing what you're doing. More One-on-One with Dean Rat after this break. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code GORKA, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code GORKA also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. America First is now available on your TV, and I urge you to check us out now at SalemNewsChannel.com, or you could download the app. You can also watch us on Roku and Fire Stick. Salem News Channel, the antidote to the lying mainstream media. Welcome back to America First One-on-One with former congressman for the 7th District of Virginia, Dave Bratt. So, okay, let's drill down on what you've been doing recently. So as I mentioned at the beginning, I played that cut from Newt because you invited Speaker Gingrich to this new business contract with America event at the Museum of the Bible. Why did you hold that? If you can share with our listeners, what was the take home and what are the chances, given what we've seen lately, Dave, the mama bears at the school board meetings, the reaction to insane things like the Rittenhouse trial? What do we have a fertile ground now for these kind of ideas? So tell us about your recent event.
Yeah, I mean, so there's always a tension in trying to put all of reality down into 10 propositions for a new business contract with America. Newt comes in. Newt's incredibly aspirational. And so we framed it. We had 13 or 14 propositions. He came in and destroyed all of it.
that first half an hour was a tough half an hour, right, wasn't it, Dave?
Right. It was a beautiful thing because I was like going, wow, this guy is a genius. And he liked, you know, the rational propositions. But he said, look, he says, you got to first sell this thing, right? People got to enjoy the first sentence they hear. It's got to be about why we're doing this to produce happiness for your family so that you can cohere, so that you can have a fruitful business, so that we can have a happy society again. He said, and then in order to
he used
that,
this phrase. What was it? It was
a joyful persistence.
Joyful persistence. So I'm the wrong person to sell this. But he said what one of his secret weapons when he was speaker is that whenever he was proposing something in the room, he would always do it joyously. Why? Yep. Because yep. people just get ground down by it. When you are happy about your ideas, sooner or later, you're just going to win. If you go in there and just kind of get all pugilistic from the get-go, it's a little bit harder. So it seemed to work for him back in the 90s, right?
Yeah, well, I know. I don't want to tell the secrets behind the scenes, but I'm sure the speaker could knock a couple heads together when he had to as well. So that, you know, that, and so, but he came in and he gave us the, you know, the, let's go over the median into the 60-70% of people. We need to form a coalition that's huge, and gave us great ideas. Then, you know, a few of us pushed back a little and said, hey, that's all super, but some folks in this room, it's existential, right? We got business people going out of business right yeah. now. And we're going to use your language, the framework, the moral framework. He said, put the first three propositions in a moral framework. So we did that. But we need to hear some, you know, demarcation lines of what is not acceptable going forward, too, right? Adherence to the Constitution, the rule of law, freedom, not canceling people. And so, you know, and he said all that. He included all that. But the way he did it was brilliant. And so we reformulated and came out where we're shooting that around to a bunch of thought leaders and the first 100 people in a phone book who we trust more than the swamp and getting their input. And we'll come up with a great product and hopefully it helps shape things to come.
Do you think that America's ready? I mean, clearly after the disaster of COVID and the 44 million people made unemployed and the tens of thousands of businesses shuttered, we need a business contract with America. But what about a broader revisiting? I wish Newt were 20 years younger. Isn't it time yeah. for a new contract with all Americans as well, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's... you know, eventually there'll come a time where, you know, this set of ideas gets into the Freedom Caucus and then hopefully spills into the conference and then spills into leadership discussions. And, you know, other people are working on contracts, too, at the same time. And so, but we absolutely have to have this. The left goes in lockstep, right? I mean, it's just the pressure they put on their people is just tremendous. And I don't really like that. I mean, you're supposed to represent your constituents, and so there should be some freedom, but within a guiding set of principles. And I think that's what you got to put down on paper: is hey, here's how our principles are demarcated from the opposing team, who doesn't have a deep spiritual, religious, metaphysical grounding of any of these principles. So it's an easy sell. The irony is, right, too, in the one of the ultimate ironies of the last Virginia election is, you know, after all this illegal immigration and everything, the greatest irony is with the Republicans won the Hispanic vote.
Yeah.
Largely because of the Catholic work ethic and spirituality they share with conservatives. And so that it's just, you know, we still believe in the rule of law. We want to have a defined border, but all the folks in Central America, South, they're all made in the image of God. There's no debate on that. It's just we want to have order and the rule of law in our society. And, you know, we'll have an orderly way of welcoming our brothers and sisters.
Dear friends, we're talking to Dave Brandt, former congressman from Virginia's 7th District, now the dean of the business school at Liberty University.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Prison Fellowship.
Welcome back to One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump and Liberty University's Dave Brandt. If you have been waiting for that one place to get all your trusted, patriotic, conservative information, it's finally arrived. We have a digital commonwealth. It's called freedomsquare.com. Freedomsquare.com is your patriotic portal designed to unite freedom-loving Americans across the nation, where you can access all your favorite news sites on the same place and also your favorite podcasters. At the same time, given what we've been discussing, super important, we also have freedomsquared.com's business directory to connect like-minded patriotic business owners with patriotic customers. Go today. Freedomsquared.com is your new home for information and for everything you need to fight the good fight. Log on now, create your free personalized dashboard. Join us in the fight for freedom. See you on Freedom Square. Freedomsquared.com. Freedom lives here. Dave, you were inside the sausage machine, as we say. You went from being an academic, a person who understands what it takes to build a vibrant, healthy, transparent economy, and then you became a member of the swamp. You became a congressman, or rather somebody inside the swamp fighting the swamp creatures.
Yeah.
Given that perspective, that you're a true citizen politician, will you give us your take on the last 5-6 years? You rode, as you said, on a wave of Tea Party patriotism.
Yep.
How do you assess the health of the America First MAGA movement and the effect on the apolitical American of the last 11 months that maybe is starting to wake up? So give us Professor Bratt's assessment of what's happened since you left Congress.
Yeah, I went in with a huge, groundswell underlying us in opposition to Obama's healthcare thing. Obamacare, federalized takeover of another 18% of our economy. And then our team gets in power and says, give us the Senate, give us the president. So we do, the American people do. And we squandered it. And boy, that was just devastating. And then, I'm in office and, people weren't supporting Republicans back then. It's easier to fight against Obama than to support your own candidate. And so I just appeal to everyone out there, keep the energy up. Now it appears we're back to that stage and we've learned a lesson and we want people in there that tell the truth. And it looks like that fire is spreading nationally. And so it's going to be very interesting right now. We'll see in a week or two with the debt ceiling increase what the Republicans in the Senate do. That'll give us the clearest memo you can get when we hear that. But yeah, I think the parents movement up in Loudoun, Virginia is real. I don't get overexcited, though, because we had every tailwind behind us, right? We had Afghanistan, gas prices, food prices, debt, monetary printing like you've never seen, the border crisis, everything. And with all that at our back, we still only win the governor by 3%. And so you said, what do you make of that middle, that 47%? And I'm like, I'm still scratching my head. It's just numbing to me what they're waiting to see or hear before they switch allegiances to a more pro-America thesis.
So I presume you must be, given what you just said, less than satisfied with the GOP leadership. All the things you just rattled off, then you see how Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, Lauren Boebert are treated, while the other side gets away with having, rank anti-Semites like Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar all on their committees. Naive question, Dave Bratt, as a former GOP congressman. When is the GOP going to grow a spine?
Yeah, that's the question, and I'm afraid it's nowhere near now. Until the money shifts, right? They're very scared of losing corporate America, who they've already lost. If they haven't kept track of the Fortune 500 and the CEOs and ESG investing and BlackRock and Larry Fink, the $10 trillion man, and the globalists and the allegiance of every one of those firms to China first on paper in contracts before thinking about their fellow brothers and sisters in America and the labor force we have here, we're not there. The Republican leadership is nowhere near there. And we're going to see this debt ceiling increase. If they allow that, there's going to be a mild revolution at the voting boxes in 22. And every Republican incumbent that doesn't have their head on straight is going to lose.
But what is it going to take? You talk about the Fortune 500. We look at most of the corporations. totally in the tank for the left. I mean, these are companies that are giving millions to Black Lives Matter. So what is the scenario? Is it, you know, we've got Matt Gaetz and maybe a handful of others who refuse to accept money from corporate PAC donors.
Yeah.
So is there can we have politics that devoid of the massive support of these corporations that now have gone woke, Dave?
Oh, I think so. I mean, we have the numbers, right? The American people now, if they're given a signal, right? And that signal is not there, right? If the Republican leadership said, we are now the middle class party of America, right? We believe in the Judeo-Christian values. We believe in a constitutional government. That the rule of law affects everybody, or anybody that violates that standard will go to jail. We believe in business and want you to prosper, and we're going to do everything we can for your kids in the middle class to succeed. And you got to really believe that, and you got to say that. And if we came out and said that, we would replace the Democrats, right? The labor unions, the Midwestern states would flip our way by 10% if we had a leader who got up and said that. But when they just talk jibber jabber and try to walk the line, the saying in politics, you walk in the middle of the highway, you get hit coming from both sides. Boom.
Right, right.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Dave Bratt. What for you, for the general American, what things should they be reading concerning the challenge to America, and especially your perspective on the truth about economics?
Yeah, well, so I recommend, and you know, the Book of Romans or wherever you want to start, you know, God gave them up to an unsound mind. If you have eyes to see, if you have ears to hear, that's a spiritual gift. The first thing is get the spectacles of faith out. If you don't have faith, if you don't know why you're on the planet, you got to figure that out. And don't let the left fool you with their cute little saying. The first and foremost question for any academic is, why is there something instead of nothing? And the lefties, the Hawkings and the genius, it's not a question. It's not a question. It's not a serious intellectual question. It's the only philosophical question for the last 2,000 years since Socrates. What is being is a central question of Western philosophy. What is it to be? And so the answers are there, right? Go back to the Judeo-Christian text, the Hebrew text, the Genesis, Exodus, going up through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's first and foremost. We're in a spiritual war about what it means to love. Love does not mean the sugar highs and buying a Subaru. Love is on a cross and requires sacrifice and discipline. And those words are out right now. Then after that, you read the histories of the people who were part of this tradition, right? James Madison, the Federalist Papers, Adam Smith. Don't read Adam Smith, right? Go to Milton Friedman. Young people, go watch the YouTubes of Uncle Milton Friedman, man. The guy, smartest guy you'll ever see with a smile on his face the whole time, just having a field day with the left and articulating why freedom does matter. As if you need evidence, right? Now go ask the people of China right now how they're loving life. How's their family? How's their government? How's their business? And then look at the United States if you need some data. But I find more great stuff out on YouTube. I highly recommend that. Get out on YouTube, young people. Follow your passion, especially follow technology right now that's running this world. We need more good people. So you should be aiming for IT. Information technology, learning about that, and go follow Elon Musk at first, or the hype guys that are fun to watch, and that'll lead you into deeper stuff, you know, blockchain and cybersecurity and all this stuff that's going to undergird the world you're going to live in. And we need your help. We need you young people going to work, eating your spinach. you can either join the workforce as a barista or take a couple IT courses, come to Liberty, to our business school. We got computer science and IT and IS and cyber in the business school. And we'll set you up for a lifetime where you build the kingdom of God and get a great job and have great friends who are fun to be with every day. And so those are a few gems I've learned over the years.
Well, that is fabulous. Start with the classics of our Judeo-Christian civilization. Work your way up to Milton Friedman. YouTube, they're centering conservatives, but check out people like PragerU, and don't forget liberty.edu, rumble.com, and anything that comes out of this man's pen or his computer. He's Dave Bratt. He's the Dean of the Business School. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.